If you were to make a list of the people that you love the most, whose names would you put on that list? Well, more than likely, you would put close family members and close personal friends. Well, if you had to make a choice between putting those names on a list and putting God's name on that list, where would God rank? Would you put God on the same level of love that you have toward those close family members? Would you put Him below them? Or would you put God above the love that you have for the closest people to you on the earth? Well, Jesus has something to say about that in Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read again today in Luke 14, beginning in verse 25, where Jesus talks about counting the cost of being a disciple of His. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." Now, of course, we've already pointed out here that the word hate in this passage is not used in a literal sense of hating somebody in a sinful way. The word hate here is a word that is used in the sense of a comparison, and it means to love less. So Jesus is saying that you have to love your father and mother and wife and so forth less than you love God. This means that we are to love God more than anybody else. We are to love God more than our close family loved ones. Now, this is part of the cost that we bear when we become Christians and as we live the Christian life. And what I want to do is to go back to a few verses of Scripture today to look at these, because these passages really shine some light on what we're looking at here, and they show that God has always expected this out of His people. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me, and he that loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me." Now that's Matthew 10, 34 through 37. And Jesus said it very plainly. He said, if you love son or daughter or father or mother or anybody else more than you love Me, He said, you're not worthy of Me. And here in Luke chapter 14, He says you cannot be His disciple if you love anybody else more than you love Jesus. Now, to many people today, those are strong words. And they are strong words. They are challenging. They are demanding. But folks, we might want to ask some questions here. Who died on the cross for you? That was not a loved one. And I'm not saying that your loved ones wouldn't die for you, but they didn't die on the cross for you. They didn't provide you with everything that you have. God does that. They didn't offer you the full and complete forgiveness of your sins. God does that. God loves you more than anybody loves you. God loves you more than you love yourself. And our love for God ought to be higher and purer than any love that we have for any individual on the face of the earth. Now, back in the Old Testament, God warned the Israelite people that even if a close family member or a close personal friend tried to lead them away from the God of Israel, they were to follow the following instructions. Listen to this very carefully. Now, if you think that Matthew 10 and Luke chapter 14 were strong passages, listen to this one. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife, the wife of your bosom, and that indicates the closeness, the close relationship between a husband and a wife, or your friend, which is as your own soul. In other words, you love him just like you love yourself. You are best friends, very best friends. But if any of those people, father or mother, daughter, son, wife, best friend, if any of those people entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers? He goes on to say what is to be done with that individual. So here's the situation. Moses talks about God and the Israelites' faith toward God, but then he talks about these family members that they think so much of, that they love so dearly. He said, if any of those family members that you love so dearly try to get you to leave the God of Israel, then who are you to follow? You're going to have to make a choice then. You're going to have to choose between God or your family, God or your friends. That's not a choice that many people are comfortable with. That's not a choice that any of us look forward to in life, and yet it is a choice that has to be made. Now, what did God tell these Israelites to do back in the Old Testament? He said, if that happens, if a close family member or a close personal friend tries to lead you away from the one true and living God, he goes on and describes it in verse 7 as gods which are of the people which are round about you, nigh to you, or far off from you, even from the one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth. Here's what you're not to do, he said. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 8. You are not to consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. You're not to listen to him. You're not to pay him any attention. Don't give him an audience. Neither shalt thine eye pity him. Don't feel sorry for him. Now you see, the natural inclination there would be to feel sorry for and to pity that family member. But he said, don't feel sorry for that person. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Don't hide him, because he's in trouble with the Jewish authorities. You see, the law of God back in the Old Testament under the law of Moses was the law of the land. And so if you violated the law of God, you were in trouble as far as the law of the land was concerned. Now here's what was to happen to that individual. The Bible says, instead of hiding him and feeling sorry for that individual and listening to him as he's trying to get you to leave the one true and living God, he says in verse 9, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust you away from the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Now that's strong medicine. That is a very severe measure that God told the Israelites to take. But God is saying that he is supreme. There is no close second. And even if somebody that you love like you love yourself is trying to get you to go against the God of Israel, you had better stand with God. Your love for God had better be stronger than your love for those human beings. Now that's not only a situation that we dread facing. It's one that is difficult to practice. We can talk about this all day long. We can talk about how that we love God more than anybody on earth. But you know what? That claim is going to be tested. And sometimes people will make that claim that, oh yes, I put God first. I love God more than anybody else. And yet they will compromise the Bible for a family member. They'll criticize somebody else when their family members are going contrary to the Bible and doing sinful things, and yet when it comes down to their own flesh and blood, they give in and they compromise. Now, Jesus said that we're to love him more than anybody else. This is a test, you see, of our love, and it can be a test as far as doctrinal matters are concerned. Sometimes you will have a situation in a family. It might be between a husband and a wife, a child and a father and mother, brothers and sisters, and so forth. But it's a situation where the doctrine of Christ is on the line. And you have one family member that is holding to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that believes what the Bible says. You have another family member that this individual loves very much, and vice versa. But this other family member believes something else. This other family member believes a false human doctrine. And so the first family member that I referred to is going to have to make a choice. That individual is going to have to choose between love for God and love for this family member. And that's especially tempting when this family member that's in the wrong and believes the wrong kind of religion is putting pressure on this person. When that individual who believes this false doctrine comes to this loved one and says, well, you surely don't believe that, do you? And you don't think I'm wrong, do you? You surely don't believe I'm going to hell because of this, do you? And so they try to get the individual to back down. They try to get the child of God to compromise. Well, folks, again, the Bible says that we must love God more than we love anybody else. And if we have to tell a family member, you're wrong. If we have to tell the person or the people that we love more than anything or anybody on earth, you're wrong, I will not go along with that, then we must stand with God. We must love God more than we love anybody else. Now, this happens with moral matters as well. Sometimes in a family, you will have a Christian person that has a relative. Now, it may be very close within the own immediate family, or it may be an extended member of the family. But this person is a loved one, and that person is living with sin. This person may be involved in drinking. This person may be involved in living together with somebody outside of wedlock, but this individual is involved in sin. Now, that Christian relative over here is oftentimes going to be put on the spot. That individual is going to be tested. Because other family members will say, well, what do you think about this person here? And so the choice has to be made. Will you follow God or will you follow your family? Do you love God more or do you love family more? By commitment issue, I'm talking about our loyalty to Jesus Christ as far as our service is concerned. Because you see, there are family members that sometimes don't understand or don't want to understand the service and the activities that a Christian person goes through because of their love for God. And so they'll try to get them to compromise. They'll say to the Christian person, well, you don't really have to go to church, do you? And do you have to go today? I was in the kitchen of a Christian woman with her son and his wife one time, and we were talking about this very thing. And this Christian woman told me that when her husband and she first got married, she was not a Christian, but he was. They went ahead and had several children. She still would not become a Christian, and she wouldn't even go to church with him. And so he's taking the children to church on Sunday morning, and she refuses to go. She would try to hinder him. She would try to keep him from going to church, and sometimes she would even ask him and beg him to stay at home with her, and he wouldn't do it. Well, that made her mad. She didn't like that. And one Sunday morning, she asked her husband to stay at home. She said, why don't you just stay at home with me and keep the kids here? And he said, no, and so I'm going to take these kids to church with me. Well, that made her mad. And she put him on the spot. She looked at her husband, and she said, do you love God more than you love me? And he looked at her, and he said, yes, I do. How many husbands and wives have that kind of courage today? How many Christians have that kind of conviction to say, yes, I love you, but I love God more? And how many people would look at a situation like that and say, well, I don't guess she ever went to church again, did she? I guess that drove her away from ever going to church and ever wanting to become a Christian. No, she did become a Christian. She is going to church right now. She is a faithful Christian because he was willing to stand up to her. And folks, let me ask you this. If he had given in to her, if he had compromised and said, well, I guess I do love you more than I love God, and I guess I'll stay at home, you know what would have happened? He would have continued on that path, compromising and giving in to her, and he would have lost his soul, and she would have stayed in the lost condition she was in. But because he had the courage that he did to say what was right and to love God more than he loved anybody else, even her, that drew her to Christ. It didn't push her away from the Lord. It drew her to Jesus Christ, and she is a faithful child of God to this very day. You see, folks, when you do what's right and you stand for the truth, things have a way of working out. Well, I wish that we had more time to talk about this, but our time has come and gone, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.